Chapter 49. I slept for a few hours and ate a couple of mouthfuls of food, only because I had to. Then I dressed in breeches and a simple white shirt that belonged to Castile. It was far too large, but the black bodice worn over the shirt kept me from swimming in it. Many tunics and shirts of mine now lined the walk-in wardrobe, but it felt good to have Castile's shirt against my skin. And he'd liked it when I wore the bodice like this the last time I'd seen him. I stopped at the bed, my gaze straying to the nightstand, to the little wooden horse. My heart squeezed. I hurried over to it, taking the toy in my hands. In the chest by the doorway, I found a pouch. Placing the horse in it, I left the bedchamber and then the quarters as I tied the bag to my waist. I checked on Tawny, finding her the way I'd left her, asleep and far too still. The dark veins had traveled to the curve of her chin. Ilawana sat at her side. "I summoned Willa," she said, and the breath I took was painful. "She will bring one of the oldest healers. He will know how to treat her." "Thank you," I said, inhaling and exhaling slowly. She nodded. "Be careful, Penelope." "Always," I whispered, and then left the room, my chest aching. Kieran waited for me in the foyer, and from there we joined Hysa in the Temple of Nyctos. It would only be the two of us who made the trip this time. Veneta would remain as her parents were en route to Evimon with their new sibling. I'd told Kieran that he should stay, but that had gone in one ear and out the other, even when I pulled the queen card, and then the "I am a god, obey me" line. He insisted on accompanying me, claiming that none of the others would remember the path we'd taken last time. Maybe he was right. Maybe he just couldn't sleep or stay still either, his thoughts swirling from one horrific possibility to another. What if my plan failed? What if the Draken refused? What if she hurt Castile? What if he needed to feed? What if I needed to feed? What would I do? Could I even think about drinking another's blood? What if I lost him? What if he lost himself again? And I knew this wasn't easy for Kieran. Before, he had been able to tell how Castile was doing because of the bond. He didn't have that now. He just had all the what-ifs I had. "Kieran," I asked, as we made our way down the narrow tunnel.
"Poppy?"
I swallowed, my throat dry. Are you doing okay?" He didn't answer right away, and I thought the hand he held the torch with trembled.
"No."
I briefly closed my eyes.
"Are you?"
"No," I whispered. We traveled the windy underground tunnels mostly in silence after that. There were no jokes, no real conversation at all. We passed the area of the partial collapse hours before we had the first time, and I moved ahead of him when we saw the pinprick of light. I worked my way out, and then we crossed the barren land. Making our way, I made sure it was I who stepped under the shadow of the winged women. The ground didn't tremble. What I believed were the consort's guards remained under our feet. The city of Delos shimmered in the distance as we walked toward the Shadowstone Temple. The first thing I noticed was there was no slumbering stone draken. "Where is—"
"There."
Kieran's steps slowed as I followed his gaze to the temple stairs. A man with black hair streaked with silver stood in the center of them, dressed in black pants and nothing else.
"You think that's Nectus?"
he asked, his voice low.
"In his mortal form?"
"Maybe." Shards of diamonds crunched under my boots.
"The Wolven is correct,"
the man spoke, and my brows lifted. The Draken's hearing was extraordinary.
"You have returned several members less than the last time. That does not bode well."
I stiffened as I stopped many yards from the temple.
"If you are seeking Nyctos, you are not in luck,"
Nectus continued.
"He has joined his consort once more in sleep."
I'm not here to see Nyctos, I said, taking in the fine ridges all along his back. They looked like scales.
I understand.
A heartbeat of silence.
Or is it that you now understand the power you wield?
Wanting to know how the Draken was aware of my epiphany, I glanced at Kieran. He sent me a look that said he knew I was about to ask a rather irrelevant question. I fought the urge and won. I understand. His head tilted, but he still did not look at us.
Before you speak, you must be sure, for these words cannot be rescinded. Once you summon the flesh and fire of the gods to protect and serve you, to keep you safe, they will be cast in fire and carved in flesh.
My mouth dried. I'm sure.
What makes you so sure?
The Blood Crown took what is mine. They took everything from me, and they will continue taking everything.
And,
he queried quietly,
you seek to use us to take everything from the Blood Crown, then? To destroy them, the cities they protect themselves in, and those who stand between you and them?
I pressed the marriage imprint against the pouch that held the toy horse. I seek the aid of the Draken to fight the Revenants and the Ascended, to fight beside Atlantia. I do not seek to destroy the cities or kill those caught between them and me. For the most part, the people of Solus are innocent.
You seek to fight with the gods of the gods at your side, but you do not expect cities to fall?
He barked a short laugh.
You are not ready for war.
You are mistaken, I stated carefully. Or I misspoke. I do not seek to do those things, but I understand that they may be necessary. I am ready for war. I would not be here if I wasn't. But I do not plan to soak the lands with blood and leave nothing but ruins behind. There was a beat of silence.
Then you plan to take what is owed you and bear the weight of two crowns.
I forced my hands to loosen. Yes. His head bowed slightly.
And will you help bring back what was ours to protect? What will allow the consort to wake?
Kieran sent me a glance of concern, and I really had no idea what Nyctos was speaking of, or what would happen if the consort awakened. But I asked, what is it that I need to help bring back?
Your father.
I opened my mouth, but it took several moments for me to find the ability to speak. Malek?
Malek is lost to us. He was lost to us long before any of us realized.
Confusion swept through both Kieran and me. I don't understand, I started.
Malek is not your father,
Nyctos said.
The blood that courses through you is that of Iris, his twin.
Shock rolled through me as I stared at the Draken's back. Ispeth. She hadn't confirmed that Malek was my father, and she had spoken of Malek in the past tense, as if she believed that he was gone. Oh my gods. Ispeth didn't know where Malek was, and
Iris was lured from Elysium some time ago,
Nyctos said.
Drawn into the realm with my daughter while we slept. We have not been able to look for Iris, not without being summoned, and he has not called for us. But we know he lives.
My thoughts raced, settling on the painting I'd seen in the museum of Nyctos and the two large cats. Oh, gods.
What?
Kieran looked at me. I swallowed, almost afraid to ask. Could Iris shift forms?
He, like his father, could take other forms. While Nyctos preferred that of a white wolf, Iris was often fond of taking the shape of a large gray cat, much like Malek.
Fuck, Kieran whispered. I could only stand there while it felt like my heart had dropped out of my body. I saw him, I uttered. We both did. The muscles along Nectus's back rippled and flexed.
How?
He was caged by the one who took Castile, I said. I had only briefly considered that the creature I'd seen in the cage had been Malek, but at that time, we'd believed Malek to be a deity, not Nyctos's son, not a twin. The Blood Queen, I rasped, reeling. She says she's a god because Malek ascended her.
A god?
A rough, dark laugh left the ancient draken.
A god is born, not created. What she is, she, like the revenants, are an abomination of all that is godly.
Castile. He had been right. Nectus's hands closed into fists.
Then your enemy is truly an enemy of ours.
Shaken by the revelation, I pressed the heel of my palm to my chest. How had Ispeth lured a god? Had Malek shared something with her? Your daughter, do you know if she lives? Nectus did not answer for a long time.
I do not know. She was young when we went to sleep, into status. She was barely on the cusp of adulthood when Iris woke her.
What is her name? Kieran asked.
Jadis.
That's a pretty name, I said, briefly closing my eyes. I wished I hadn't. I saw the too thin man behind the bone bars, his features mirroring the chaos of his mind. I saw the far too intelligent eyes of the cat, my father, and I had left him there. I shuddered. I couldn't let myself go there. The possibility that Ispeth had a draken locked away somewhere was something I would have to file away for the moment, right along with the knowledge of who my father was and the questions surrounding how he and Ispeth had come together. All I could focus on was what I knew now, that my father was a victim of Ispeth's too. And I thought of Malek, entombed beneath the blood forest. If a god of primal blood was entombed, what happens to them?
Entombed by the bones of the deities? They would simply waste away day by day, year by year, but they would not die,
he answered.
They would just exist in a place between dying and death, alive, but trapped.
Gods. That was an even more horrifying outcome than the deities slowly starving to death. But that meant that Malek was still alive, and Ispeth still loved him. Nectus's skin hardened into scales.
Are you ready, daughter of Iris, the son of Nyctos and his consort?
A tremble coursed through me.
Yes. Then speak the words and receive what you've come for.
My skin tingled and my chest throbbed. Kieran's hand closed around mine. He squeezed. A soft breeze came from nowhere, swirling across the diamonds. The scent of lilacs reached me. And then I heard her voice among my thoughts. Heard the consort speaking the words Nectus waited for. I summon the flesh and fire of the gods to protect me and those I care for, to ride at my side and stand guard at my back. I call on the bloodline birthed of flesh and fire to awaken. Nectus turned his head to the side, the vibrant blue of his irises a stark contrast to the pitch-black vertical pupil. The ground trembled and gave a low rumble. Kieran's grip on my hand tightened as we took several steps back. Dirt and small diamonds spilled into the air around the base of the temple. Chunks of crystal exploded out to the sides. Gleaming talons stretched out from the dust, sinking into the black stone. A large, leathery shape cut through the cloud of debris, arcing high as dozens of claws carved into the tower from all sides. They erupted from the earth below, pulling their scaled winged bodies out of the soil. They climbed the sides of the tallest spire, one after another, their grayish-black tails whipping through the air. The first reached the top, its deep purple-black scales glimmering under the sun as it shook the dirt from its body. Stretching out its long neck, frills of spikes opened around its head as its wide mouth dropped open, and a deafening roar rattled my bones. Nectus faced me. "From this moment to the last moment, they are yours, Queen of Flesh and Fire." My breath caught, burning my throat as wisps of smoke wafted from the purple-black creature's nostrils. It opened its jaws and let out another rumbling roar. Flames spilled from its mouth, a rolling tide of silvery-white flames. It launched from the obsidian tower, rocketing into the sky, its wings unfurling and sending a gust of wind over the ground. The others called out, their shrieks turning into keening calls. Awakened from their deep sleep, dozens of drakens followed, leaping from the tower and taking flight, one after the other. They flew toward the mountains of Nyctos, and then, eventually, they would take flight for Solus, for Carcedonia.